Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up 500,000 in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Newsletter, so broker here at Daniels Trading. Work with online traders and broker assisted, speculative, and hedge business with farmers and producers. If you like Turner's Take podcast, please send it along to someone who might like it too. If you want to check out the newsletter, you can text number 33777. That's on your phone. Just text the number 33777 with the message Turner, and you can take a look at the newsletter. You can also find out more about me, the newsletter, and the podcast at turnerstake.com. All my contact information is in the show notes. If you're a client and like the ideas we're talking about, give me a call. We can put some of them to work. If you're not a client and like to know more about that, you can give me a call too. I just recorded this podcast and realized the sound was all off. So this is recording number 2. Hopefully it's better. There was no podcast last week. I was actually in and out of town. It was my 15th wedding anniversary. While I was working, we were traveling a little bit, for that, and that was nice. So anyways, let's talk about the big report today. It was a big one, and we're going to dive into corn, wheat, and soybeans. My major takeaway is between now and, let's say, late winter, early spring 2021, we've got some real good opportunities for the corn, soybean, and probably wheat market too. I think today just cemented it. So let's get in here. We're going to go corn first. Bring up my corn sheet. So when you're looking at the newsletter, or if you're looking at the podcast in the show notes or on the website in the blog where the podcast is posted, I'm going to include my tables for corn and soybeans so we can know exactly what happened today, why the market, and probably how the market's going to now react and trade, and what it's going to be sensitive to probably for the next 5 to 6 months at least. With corn, the report today lowered the Q4, I guess it's Q4 for the marketing year, the end of year quarterly stocks report for corn to 1.995 million bushels. So ending stocks are going to be under 2 billion, which pretty much happened because we had a nice increase in the feed, or that's what was implied. It looks like we had like a record for feed here, but regardless, we're coming down in the ending stocks. I want to say we had a new high of about 928 million bushels for the June to August feed residual, and that was big. That was really big. So that's number one. Number two, because those stocks come down to lower the 2 billion, and that's in the yellow column that I have on my spreadsheet here. If you look at those three middle columns in this kind of pinkish orange color, you'll see different yield scenarios for the new crop that's being harvested now. And if we're closer to, USDA had us at 178.5. But if we're at 176.5, all right, there's a good chance that we're under 2 billion ending stocks for new crop on the next WASD. And I would think the funds are building their position looking for that, because not only is the yield coming down, not only is the carry-in, which are last year's ending stocks, coming down, there's probably more demand on the export market that the USDA has to add in because all the China buying, right? So I bet the market thinks we're going to be pretty close to 2 billion or under 2 billion for ending stocks, not only for old crop, but for new crop too, all right? Now, is that, overly bullish or bearish. No, it's actually implies corn should be somewhere in the, you know, in a vacuum, corn somewhere in the mid threes. Yet here we are in the high 370s, low 380s in December. Now, what's going to be interesting is over the next 5-6 months, we need to actually have a pretty good, decent-sized corn crop in South America. Because next year, when you look at my blue column in the table for 21-22, you know, we're going to have 90 to 91 million acres. We're probably going to have it, acres come down in corn a little bit. And I'll get to that when we get to soybeans. And at a trend line yield for next year's crop, we're producing just about as much as we use. So if we're at 90 million acres next year, losing 2 million acres from this year, we're probably consistent of old crop being around a 2 billion, new crop being around 2 billion, and next year's crop being 2 billion. So that gives us only 500 million bushels of error here until we get into some serious price rationing markets. To me, that implies corn should be somewhere between 350 and 420, right? Depending on the time of year, the weather markets, demand, the seasonality of it all, the funds are getting in, the funds are getting out, 350, 420, which is a pretty normal year for corn. You know, unless we've had severe droughts or just more corn than we ever knew what to do with, you know, that's when we could be above 450 or below 350. But when we have adequately supplied markets, you know, lows around 350, highs around 420, somewhere in those low fours. And that's what we're going to – that's the period that we live in right now. What's going to be interesting is with La Nina in South America, if we start to lose production down there and things get tight and China's buying corn and corn in China is tight and we start to get below 1.5 billion – ending stocks, which is not out of the realm of possibilities now, corn has the chance to be over $4 across the board in all contracts. And if we get serious weather issues in South America, then all of a sudden we could be a lot higher. What's interesting is last year when corn went to 450, there was enough stocks in South America and in the Ukraine in Europe to meet demand. So when the United States was concerned about running out, or we had a price in running out of grain, and that's why we got to 450, we never really rallied much past that in the corn market, because there at that point it would have made sense to price in imports coming to the United States. You know, I think when we hit 450 south, the southeast United States, it penciled to bring corn in from Brazil or Argentina. That wouldn't happen this year. Like, we're tight. We are already getting tight in stocks around the world from major exporting nations. So what's going to be interesting here is if we do have – now, if we don't have any weather issues, then we're not going to – the scenario is going to not happen. But if we do have La Nina in South America, you can start making the case that, you know, corn could be in the low to mid fours if we're talking about, you know, drawing down another 500 million – bushels and corn, you know, on the export market, because South America isn't going to have it. So it's interesting. Like, now we're already, we'll see what happens. I mean, but I can make the argument over the next 5 to 6 months, corn low is probably somewhere in the low 360s, high 350s. I wouldn't be surprised if we tested four in some of the contracts. And then if we get some serious weather issues combined with continued Chinese demand, you know, then all of a sudden we could be above $4 in all contracts. So that is very exciting for the corn market. It's going to create some pretty good opportunities here for speculators and hedgers both. I think going forward, we'll probably – the breaks are going to be shallow. The funds will be wanting to get long. Probably should be looking to buy in the breaks. If farmers have to sell some corn, probably looking to buy some calls on top. If we think, and I think there could be a big weather rally, sometimes it's easier to buy that 430, 440, 450 call now for a nickel or something like that. So if we do rally up there, it's a lot easier for the farmer to sell knowing you've already bought that call, right? Because you'll keep on having upward price exposure even when you make the cash sale. From the spec side, I like the corn spreads. And quite honestly, you probably just buy corn on the dips here. And I like that too. So that is it's a game changer. We've been going from a bearish to a neutral to a bullish market, it looks like. But after today's report, looking at what old crop, new crop, and next year's crop is going to have to look like, you know, there's just not a whole lot of room for error now with the corn market. You know, when last year, when we were talking about a 3 billion carryout, if we were going to lose 300 million bushels, maybe that's a nickel move, right? Because you got a mountain of corn and you're taking like a barrel full out. But if you're below 2 billion and you lose a couple of million bushels of corn and all of a sudden that puts you at 1.5 billion or 10% stock to use ratio, well, now all of a sudden we've got to start price rationing corn. And that is a whole different ballgame. So moral of the story here, we're going to have some bigger ranges here in the corn market. And what's going to be real interesting is, you know, you might be saying, Craig, why do you think we're going to go to 90 million acres corn or 91 million acres corn? You know, we had 92 this year. Prices are higher. Don't you think corn acres will increase? Great question. Great point. But let's take a look at soybeans. All right. And I think that's where that lies. I'm going to go through soybeans first, just on the report today, and then we're going to I'll get into acres and prices and where we think where things are going with the bean market. So here's the thing with soybeans. Today we lowered, not we, the USDA lowered old crop ending stocks from about 575 to 523. If you take a look at the Turner Steak newsletter or in the show notes or in the blog post, you'll see on the soybean table that yellow column, that's old crop. And we're about 523 on ending stocks, 13% stock usage. I'm going to hold on 1 second here. We're going to get back into the soybeans. All right, I am back. So ending stocks came down 50 million bushels. Now, by itself, that is not a big deal. 575 to 525 really isn't a big deal for soybeans in a vacuum. However, if you look at the next set of columns for the 2021 crop, where we have a different scenarios based on yields, 50.9, 51.9, 52.9, you can see ending stocks now range between, let's say, like 326 to 400, to about 490, and most likely, just based on where expectations are for where this crop is, it's either going to be at 51.9 or lower, it sounds like, with the dry August that we had. USDA probably has to increase Chinese exports, and the crush has been okay. The crush has been the crush, but the exports probably have to come up. Yield will probably come down a little bit. Market probably believes the new crop ending stocks are somewhere in the low to mid 300 million. Which means soybeans are going to be stocked to usage under 10%, probably under 9%, probably at 7 or 8% somewhere. And that means soybeans are $10 across the board. And for the old crop or this new crop year, which they are. And if we get below 300 million, where stock to use ratio is under 7%, then that's where we see the new, probably the 21 crop get to 10 bucks. The 22 crop, no, November 21 get to $10 too. The price rationing will most likely be in all the, you know, the 2021 years. So from November 20 to, let's say through July 21 would be the most active. But it is going to be a very interesting time for soybeans over the next couple of months. I'd say for the next 5 to 6 months. The breaks on soybeans here are going to be shallow. If we're at around a 300 million carryout, and South America's planting records acres, and we've got La Nina coming, and China is buying beans hand over fist, there's no room for error. I mean, there's really no room for error in the soybean market. And if we have any weather issues, it's going to be a big deal. And we're already at, what, 10-20, 10-30 in the soybean market? So we're in the thick of harvest. The farmers will be selling, accelerating sales here. We'll see some weakness because of that. I think it's going to be bought not only by the funds, but probably the farmers who want to sell the cash and then buy call spreads or something, or bull spread the futures, which is two things I'm a big fan of here. If you're going to store beans, buy like an $11 or $12 call or something way out to sell into it in case we do get a real honest to goodness weather rally due to South America and La Nina. If you're selling it right now off the combine, I would be buying call spreads. I was buying the 1040, 1140s, I like the 1060s, 1160s now with what the price with the update in the ending stocks here and what we're probably looking at the table. I mean, I could make a case for the $11, $12 call spreads as a re-ownership play. So one thing I would keep in mind with soybeans is also the acres. So not only were we up so much today because old crop came down, and that means the new crop stocks are getting tight. If you take a look at 21-22 soybeans, and we use a trend line yield, which would be around 50.5, we've got to have about 89 million acres planted just to use as just to grow as much as we're going to use year over year. So if ending stocks are around 300 million, we're going to probably have to have at least 89 million acres next year, which was a 5 to 6 million increase year over year. So let's go back and rewind to the corn. All right, I was saying corn acres are going to come down. And you might have been that first, and I would agree with you. At face value, that doesn't make sense. Why are we going to have acres come down with corn prices being so much better? But corn plus soybeans on the acreage is usually somewhere around 178 million to 179 million acres, rarely getting to 180. So 89 million acres and 90 for beans and 91 million acres corn is 180. Usually we're at about 178. This year we were... 84, 92. So this year we were actually lower. We're at 175. So three, four million acres off the average of the corn plus soybean total. So soybeans now needs to take acres away from corn. Not only does soybeans need to get acres be put back in production that weren't planted this year, soybeans needs to price itself where it's taken a couple of million acres away from corn. If it doesn't, it's going to have to. Otherwise, we're just going to be, 10, 11, 12 bucks in soybeans. Without it, I mean, we have to, just to give you an idea here, let's say corn stays at 92 million acres and we can only get 86 or 87 million acres of soybeans. Ending stocks, just off the bat, the starting point's 200 million. I mean, that's beans in the teens. That is beans in the teens before you plant an acre. So the 86 million acres can't happen. It's got to be the market would just price soybeans so high. It would – and maybe that's what it has to do. But we need 89 million acres, which means corn's only at 91 million acres. And so – and with those projections – soybeans pretty much stay year over year in the 300s. So let's just talk about that real quick. Soybeans year over year, just to keep stocks at, well, one would say snug to tight, needs 89 million acres in a trend line. We also need a good crop out of South America. Corn in this situation is at not 90 million acres, and we're still under 2 billion. We're above 1.5 billion, but to be there in this 1.9, 1.8 billion, not for old crop, not for new crop, for next year's crop, we need a big, big South American crop also. So there's no more room for error. And not only that, this is going to be a long story. There's between now and next year's U.S. harvest, there's a lot of opportunity for weather rallies and concerns that corn's going to be below 10% stock to usage and soybeans could be below 7%. So 7% stock to usage. Moral of the story on all of this is we're going to have some serious ranges in soybeans and in some parts corn too. The game has definitely changed. The dips, the funds are going to stay in these long positions for a while, at least until we see what this crop is in South America. And if we have weather issues in La Nina, I mean, you can have a 5% reduction in production during La Nina years in South America. If that's the case, I mean, corn's $4 across the board. Beans have a potential of beans in the teens, but definitely in the most likely in the 11s, maybe touching 12 or something like that. I mean, it's just going to have to depend on demand and and some other things. But it is a much different pitcher than it was a few days ago to even a few weeks ago. So it's amazing how much these markets can change. We are going into a possibility here. Also with wheat, wheat was the biggest gainer of today. Russia is having weather issues. There's high prices in Europe in the Black Sea range, Black Sea area. South America is hot and dry, and there's damage to the wheat crop down there. So what's interesting, too, keep this in mind, all three of the major crops here in the United States, I think corn, wheat, and soybeans make up 70-80% of the farmland used in the United States. You know, they're all higher. It's not like one, which could be a substitute, is keeping the others down, right? That's not what's going on here. Plus, the dollar's coming down. Inflation's a concern. Money, fund money, and outside money's coming into the markets. Makes for a very interesting next 5 to 6 months. So if I'm going to – two things before we wrap things up. If I'm a speculator, I'm looking to buy these breaks and looking for limited risk ways to get long here. Whether that be flat price futures, options, call options, call spreads, me buying call spread, selling a put spread, that kind of thing. And then also what's going to be interesting too is the future spreads. For corn, I mean July, I haven't traded July Dece corn in a while, or Dece or something like that's going to be very interesting. The soybean spreads, they probably look high on paper right now, I'm telling you. If we start to get into the carryout of the 200s, those soybean spreads and the price rationing, it really, you know, they can go up and trade in the dollar, $1, $2 ranges, some of these things, and they're at 50 cents now. And that's just old crop, new crop spreads. So it's going to be real interesting. I'm not here to, you know, yell and scream from the top of the buildings that this is going to be a repeat of 12 and 13, but it is going to be a much more volatile bean market, more volatility in the corn market, more volatility in the wheat. There'll be opportunities here, and whether you're a producer or you're a spec trader, it's going to be a good market to be following and be part of. And if you need any help with that, or you want to put together a plan, or just get some ideas, let me know. So wheat, corn, soybeans all have some bullish setups. There will be sell-offs. I expect, especially for soybeans, to be shallow. I think soybeans probably is the biggest potential of all three. So maybe we'll take a look at the soybean versus corn spreads again on the spec side, but something to do. So it looks like this second recording today worked out a lot better. If you have any questions for me, you have any positions, you want to put something on, you want to work with me, let me know. All my contact information is in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and everyone have a great week, and I will talk to you all soon.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels Trading Broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.